Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings. March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog and win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256, and all it takes is a $4 bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. Greg, we're going to continue our conversation from James Franklin's meeting with the media earlier this week. A lot of different things that he talked about, and I thought found it interesting when he was talking about the new coaches coming in. He made a point of mentioning both Mike Yurcich and Poindexter, the new safeties coach. These are players that are, coaches that he's had his eye on for a couple years, and it sounds like he's been looking for the opportunity to hire both of these guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Jim. And we heard that expressed from James Franklin when he talked about the Mike Yurcich hire and the fact that he was a guy that James Franklin and Penn State have had their eye on for a while. It never worked out before, but it finally did. And for Penn State to get him here, they really think that he can retool their offense. The quote about Poindexter, he says he's known him for a long time and tried to hire him on several occasions, so this worked out really well. And then he said they've been involved with Mike for the last couple of years, which, you know, again, he's obviously job hop, so this was not the first time they've looked into hiring him, obviously, which I think we all kind of expected. And then with Poindexter, you know, clearly they had been trying to get him in some way, somehow, and that the fact that they were finally able to do that, tells me that for whatever reason they were able to make the money work, or he was ready to leave Purdue. I don't know what the reason was, but there was obviously some reason that he finally felt like it was time to move on. So, you know, good for Penn State. It seems like the players have kind of picked up his style pretty quickly. And, obviously I think that will be good for the safety group moving forward. They have a lot of questions to answer back there for sure.
Another topic that James Franklin addressed was the number of Penn State lettermen that are now on the staff. It's quite a few when you get with Ty Howell and Terry Smith, Deion Barnes, and now Alan Zamaitis along with Wendy Laurent. So there's a real good Penn State flavor to the staff. I think that's an excellent idea because you now have coaches who could talk to the players about, especially recruits, that this was the place that they chose, and they could talk about it with the knowledge that they made that same decision several years ago.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps to some degree. Obviously, Anthony Poindexter made a great point, and he obviously didn't play at Penn State, but you'll see where I'm going with this in a second. A lot of the players that are recruits today don't, unfortunately, remember a lot of these coaches' playing career. You know, I don't know how many guys, recognize Anthony Poindexter's name as a stud player in College Football Hall of Famer. Same with Taylor Stubblefield. Same with, Alan Zermaitis, who's now on the recruiting staff. Same with, Ty Howe, for example. Obviously, maybe not. He was certainly not the household name that the other guys we mentioned were in terms of success, but he was still a good player at Penn State. And they have some other lettermen on this staff, which is good. I think it probably is a little bit, a little bit overstated how much that means. I think Deion Barnes, for example, as much as his time at Penn State helps, I think his time in Philadelphia that he spent before coming back to be on the Lions staff is probably more valuable than his time at Penn State from a recruiting perspective. But yeah, it can't hurt, that's for sure. But I just don't know. I don't think it can be, you know, it might be overstated how much of an impact that has on recruiting and things like that. I just don't know how many guys are going to come to Penn State simply because of the experience these guys had there years ago. But I think what it does do, Jim, is it brings that connection to the pass back. And of course, we talk about how Terry Smith does that as well. And that can't hurt to have that perspective, to be able to say to a kid, look, here's where I made it to this level because of my time here. That can't hurt a recruiting pitch at all.
You brought up a good point with Deion Barnes and his time in Philadelphia. You can probably say the same thing about Terry Smith in the Pittsburgh area. That's the other point. Most of the former Penn State players, there's a very good chance they're from the local region, an area that is prime for Penn State recruiting. So that adds to it also. So very, very good point there, Greg. Several more questions came up. I thought it was fascinating, and this is a little peek behind the curtain of how things are sometimes handled at Penn State. There was a question about the new facility upgrade, and the questioner not only asked about the upgrade to the facilities, but also the fact that Jay Paterno, he came out, as we all recall, against it, and that he would vote against it at the time, and that created a bit of backlash. I found two things fascinating about that. When answering the question, James Franklin never mentioned Jay Paterno or addressed that part of the question. And after the fact, where I downloaded, Penn State puts out a PDF of the whole press conference, they put in the question, not only did James Franklin not address the Jay Paterno part, but they actually edited that part out of the question. It really kind of tells you how things work sometimes at Penn State.
Yeah, for better or worse, you're right, Jim. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously interesting that the way James Franklin answered that question, and you know, if you're him, I think you kind of just, I mean, what are you supposed to say? Obviously, you can't sit up there and say that. You know, obviously, you can't sit up there and throw shade at Jay Paterno, even if you want to, and you can't sit there and say that, hey, our facilities are way behind, and here are the people that we blame for that, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good question that elicited about the answer you would expect. You know, you kind of knew what exactly you were going to get, Jim, when his first response to that was, yeah, I'm really excited about practice today. You know, for spring ball, we're excited about that. You know, and he obviously said it was great that was approved, but he spent more of that answer talking about spring practice and the immediate future than he did anything else. But yeah, for better or for worse, that went about as exactly as I think we all would have expected it to.
Credit to the questioner, I forget who it was, but I appreciate that he put it in the question. But if he actually thought you'd get a response on that from James Franklin, you just knew he was going to be disappointed. Let's hit quickly on a couple other things. It's always interesting to me how a name will come up several times in the spring, and it appears this year that guy is Nick Tarburton. And it sounds like he's getting a lot of play. Is this an indicator that we could see a huge step from him this year, Greg?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, anytime we hear James Franklin kind of throw names out there like this, Jim, more often than not, we've seen that be an indicator of a player getting ready to take a pretty big step, not just in his own development, but in his role with the team. So I think there's a pretty good chance of that. But like always, it's going to come back to health and how healthy can he stay for the duration. So I think that's the one obvious factor here, is that it's been a problem pretty much since he stepped on campus. And if that's all behind him, then he's going to be in pretty good shape and should be good to go. And if not, then obviously, you know, the hope that he'll have a bigger role is not going to work out that way.
Another topic that came up, I'm not sure exactly what the form of the question was, but it was interesting when James Franklin, he noted that this past season was the highest percentage of offense coming from freshmen. And I had to think about that for a second, but when you think about the freshmen at wide receiver, freshmen at tight end, freshmen running backs, you have to say, yeah, that is true. And there was quite a bit of contribution from freshmen last season. And the nice thing is they're all freshmen again, Greg.
Yeah.
I think that bodes well for the future, doesn't it?
Yeah, that doesn't hurt, does it? obviously, you know, this whole eligibility thing is going to be pretty interesting for years to come now, Jim, because, as you know, maybe this year it won't be as big of a deal as it relates to roster size and things like that. But, you know, as you mentioned, there's guys that were freshmen last year and they're freshmen again. And, you know, again, that's not a huge deal this year, I don't think, but it could be in the future because you're going to have guys maybe want to stay longer than ever before, than they were ever able to before, and that could really throw your scholarship counter out of whack. So I think that's something that, you know, we're going to be talking about for quite some time now. But, you know, yeah, that was an interesting question. I don't think he really got into any specifics about that group, but, you know, I do think that there are some guys that they signed last year that maybe saw a little bit of action that could really see a chance to step up in this year ahead.
And just carrying on that point about how this will affect things a few years from now with the scholarships because players get the extra year of eligibility, the more I think about it, Greg, I'm not sure there will be a lot of conflict in a few years because look at those Penn State players that contributed to the offense. When you see a player like Parker Washington, who gets an extra year, do you really think he's going to be here for a fifth year? If you have players who are excelling, they're going to be going to the NFL after 3 years or 4 years.
That's right.
If you have a player who, you know, they fall behind their classmates and don't get on the field, there's a good chance they transfer. And if you have a player who just simply doesn't get on the field for his first 3-4 years, is he going to stick around for that fifth year, that extra year of eligibility, if there's probably by that point underclassmen who have passed him by?
Right. And yeah, so I think you nailed it 100%, Jim, that how many guys are going to want to stay for a fifth year, a sixth year, I guess even potentially a seventh year could be a possibility. You know, that's a long time to play college football. And man, if you haven't made your mark enough by then to earn yourself a spot in the NFL draft, is another season really going to do it for you? I don't think so. I don't think that is ever very, very rare cases, I think, of that happening. So, yeah, to your point, you're right. I don't think it'll cause a ton of conflict, but it will be interesting to follow, that's for sure.
It definitely will be. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to take your questions, and we get a chance to ask Greg about Penn State football, Penn State recruiting, or anything else you want to ask him. Make sure you stay tuned for that.
March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.